You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Anita. Happy Thanksgiving. How are you?
I am, all things considered, I'm doing well. The theme of my show is gratefulness. So my first question to you, my friend, is in the last 6 to 8 months, what is the one thing that you are most grateful for?
Oh, that's easy for me. It's getting to work at ESPN, like recovering pro football and college football for a living and working with people that are smart and selfless and caring and great teammates, and to get actually paid to do something that I truly love. Like, I really don't know if anybody has it better than I do.
Well, that's pretty strong. So I concur, my friend. Let's start off here because I'm on Twitter, and a good friend of mine, Aditi Kinkabwala, who works for the NFL Network, she actually was my neighbor. She worked for the Wall Street Journal. Her and I hit up some of these Hoboken bars together quite several times my first year here in Hoboken. But nonetheless, she lives in Pittsburgh now, and she covers, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati, and the Baltimore Ravens. She's just reported 2 minutes ago that another Ravens starter and an assistant coach has tested positive. As we know, that game moved from Thursday to Sunday, then again was moved from Sunday to Tuesday, but yet two more positive tests from the Ravens. So before we start talking about what we anticipate for this game, first and foremost, Mike, your thoughts on how the NFL has handled this Ravens situation?
Well, I think overall they've done an incredible job. I mean, we're sitting here playing into the first week in December, Anita, and, you know, numbers are up all over the country, and we have had a really good NFL season to date. And, I mean, I'm not an expert or a scientist by any stretch, but I'll tell you what, like, I feel like they've done a great job, and it seems like the Ravens situation is a little bit of a self-inflicted wound. And I have a great opportunity, Anita. I teach a class at Columbia University, a master's program in the business of the NFL, and a couple weeks ago we had Howard Katz as our guest speaker, who handles all the scheduling for the league. And it's amazing how they try to build in so many different contingencies. And I know this isn't going to be an ideal situation for them, but I know they were on top of it, trying to plan for as many different contingencies as possible. So, again, not an ideal situation, but I'm sure they'll come out with whatever the best remedy is they can.
You know, there's I think it's a mixed bag from both Ravens and Steelers fans, right? And more so on the Steeler fan base that, like, well, you know, why aren't they just having to forfeit the game? Why aren't the Ravens getting hit in regard to draft picks or fined like we saw the Raiders get? What do you feel is so much more significant in regard to what's happened here with the Ravens compared to, let's say, what happened with the Titans and the Raiders and other teams, Mike?
Yeah, well, I would say this would be, like, we don't know. Maybe there will be. You know, like, you know, and I think the league's kind of sensitive here, which is, you know, I've been in tough situations before with, unexpected things happen. We had to move a whole team on opening day in 2017 because of Hurricane Irma. And my point is, like, there's a time and a place for discipline. You know, right now they're just trying to get – they have two games coming up. You know, they were supposed to play Sunday, Thursday against, Dallas coming up. So that game obviously got shifted as well. Excuse me, they were supposed to go Thursday originally at Pittsburgh and then against Dallas. So I think the league could come down on them, but I think the league right now wants to get, you know, this game played as quickly as possible. And I would not be surprised if we wound up seeing discipline at some point.
So in looking at, well before we, because I do want to look at the playoff picture with the AFC with you, but so as we know, really the big name here is Lamar Jackson's not going to be able to play because it's not that he's just on the COVID list in regard to just being careful. He has tested positive for COVID. And of course, as I said earlier, you know, I pray to God that he's safe and it's not hitting him. Apparently, he's asymptomatic from what I understand. But nonetheless, he has contracted COVID-19. He's not going to be able to play. Mark Ingram, as well as J.K. Dobbins, is not going to be able to play. So, you know, realistically, what are your expectations for this game that is really a crucial game for the Ravens? I don't expect them to win the division now, especially with you know, the Steelers being 10-0. But now this is affecting the Ravens in regard to just getting into the playoff as a wild card.
Yeah, maybe it's Gus Edwards that has to step in. But, you know, the thing about pro football is, you know, one door closes, another one opens. And, hey, you know, RG3, I'm sure at some point said to himself, like, hey, I see myself as a starter. I can play in this league. I played at a high level at one point before I had a couple of significant injuries. And I've rehabbed and gotten stronger. And, look, we've seen an incredible story about Alex Smith. Like, imagine if, like, RG3 goes into Pittsburgh with an undermanned team and wins. Like, you realize the amount of money he could possibly make. You know, this is an incredible audition. So whatever the best of RG3 has, I'm sure we're going to see whenever this game is played.
Really? So it sounds to me that you're kind of optimistic in regard to what we can see from RG3.
Yeah, I mean, whatever he has in either, we're going to get. And these are the stories that I love. I mean, Alex Smith, they're talking about not only did he beat out Dwayne Haskins this year, but you know, Ron Rivera's not counting him out to be the starter next year. They're in first place in the NFC East. That's the part about pro football I love the most, the unexpected, compelling storyline. And why can't RG3 be the next one? I'm not saying that they're going to go and win, but what I am saying is, like, whatever RG3 has, we're going to see, you know, come next Tuesday whenever this game's played.
It will be interesting. Before we dive into the next topic, I want to discuss with you, Dan Graziano was on Get Up earlier this week. As we know, you've got a Bucks team, very disappointed, lost to the Rams, which was my dog of the week. Well, actually, Frankie, one of my dog's dog picks of the week on the money line. But you know, obviously, this is a Bucks team that is falling short in a number of categories. This is Dan Graziano earlier this week on Get Up talking about the relationship now that might be a little jaded between Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. Let's listen in.
There's a lot of theories, obviously, because it was supposed to work better than this. But one of them is that, you know, there is real tension, right? I mean, like, Bruce Arians and Tom Brady just met, right? It's almost like, you know, Arians was watching some sort of movie star action hero and then met him in person and said, I thought you'd be bigger. But Brady had the ability to kind of direct how the roster was constructed to a certain extent, right? I mean, Leonard Fournette, LeSean McCoy, Rob Gronkowski, and most prominently, Antonio Brown, a player that Bruce Arians was on record in the offseason as not wanting and saying negative things about. He's on the team because Brady wanted him. So if you're Arians, you're looking, going, saying, this is what you wanted. We got you everything you asked for. Why aren't you delivering? Why doesn't it look like it looks in practice? And I think you're seeing some frustration bubble to the surface.
Again, that was Dan Graziano on Get Up. I'm not sure if you were on the show at that point in time. But first and foremost, are you hearing the same reports out of Tampa, Mike?
You know, I look, it's a work in progress. That's what everyone seems to be saying. And, you know, I think this bears repeating. No offseason program, no OTA, no preseason games. I know, look, nobody knows the greatness of Tom Brady better than I do from a standpoint of, unfortunately for me, I had to compete against him for the better part of two decades. And I still think there's greatness there, but it's a work in progress. Like, it could be subtle nuances of how protection is called or how they slide or when a hot is. Now, look, I thought Tom Brady made a really bad decision at the end of the game when he threw the ball down the seam. And Jordan Fuller from New Jersey, by the way, Jordan Fuller, the 199th pick from Ohio State, was a great New Jersey athlete. Made the game-ending interception, and it was an easy play. And Tom Brady would never make that mistake in either. So, to me, you know, there is some miscommunication going on. There is some growing pains going on. But I still think there's plenty of time. They have a ton of talent. Now, the Saints defense, to me, has played way better than expected. But I still think when it's all said and done, they're going to have a meaningful say in the NFC.
You know, here's what my problem is, right? And I know I'm an outlier here, and you and I have had this conversation before, and that is I don't see Tom Brady as the greatest of all time, and I find it really hard to appoint a player the greatest of all time when you play a team sport, especially one that, you know, has the number of men that are on the field with certain jobs that they have to execute properly in order for that player to shine, or any player to shine, and specifically when it comes to Tom Brady, the offensive line. You know, Mike, Giants fans sat here and couldn't wait to get rid of Eli Manning. Why? Because he had no offensive line. He was playing behind. He was as slow as molasses. And a lot of people felt that his arm, all these other reasons. But it's what Eli Manning needs and needed to play well. But the door could not hit him in the butt fast enough to get Daniel Jones started. Well, now we're seeing Tom Brady play behind a less than stellar offensive line, and you and I talked about it last week on you know, New York game day. My big thing was no Ali Marpet. That was a big reason why. No Ali Marpet. Aaron Donald's going to go off. And sure enough, we saw that's what happened in the fourth quarter. The other offensive linemen got tired, even if they were triple teaming him. And Aaron Donald shined. And he came in and, you know, there was nothing that Tom could do. But this is what the majority of the quarterbacks in the NFL go through year in and year out. Tom has been very fortunate, A, to play for an organization like the Patriots, B, with all due respect, because I know you worked in that division for several years, Mike, but in the AFC East, where the Jets and the Dolphins and the Bills, let's be honest, have not been very good. There hasn't been a very big competitive component. So if you were to take Tom Brady and you were to put him in the AFC North, or you were to take Tom Brady, which now the division he's playing in, where now he's playing against a more competitive Saints team that I think is going to win the division, I don't believe Tom would have won as many Super Bowls as he has. So I guess my point is, be careful what you wish for. The grass isn't always greener. You can go out and you can put together and you can compile this unbelievable, you know, roster with all these star, you know, Pro Bowl players, but it doesn't always work. And sometimes, you know, the system you're in and the organization you're in knows the kind of quarterback you are, knows what you need in order to survive, knows that. And we both know this, right? I've spoken to a ton of coaches. Just win your division. Get into the postseason. It's a whole different animal, right? Like, just win your division. Get into the postseason. And obviously, it's a lot harder to do in the division he's in right now than it was in the AFC East. So I have a really, really hard time when people call him the GOAT. But again, I know how familiar you are with him because you were the general manager of teams that had to go up against him twice a year, if not more. And I have respect for him. I just have a hard time with the word GOAT. And I guess my question to you, and we'll end on this, is if this style of play continues and the Bucs continue to lose, and let's say, God forbid, they don't make it to the postseason, and let's say next year it's the same thing, do you feel that this might tarnish his legacy?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of speculation about that, and I would just say this, both Coach Belichick and Tom Brady, you know, it's been talked about, obviously, you know, quite a bit, as you just mentioned, about their greatness together, and that's, you know, certainly by any standard, and I think at the end of this year, you know, we'll see a lot more, you know, we'll miss two more, and, you know, let's face it, New England struggled without Tom Brady. Tom Brady hasn't been the same, and, you know, I think history will look back and say, like, each one of them made the other better, and, but if I had to say, you know, who has a better chance to have the longer postseason run right now, Anita, I think most people would agree that, you know, clearly that would be New England. Tampa Bay, not New England, just from a standpoint, you know, from a talent, from where they're sitting right now. Like, you know, a lot could happen. New England's not dead. But clearly Tampa's sitting in the driver's seat when you compare who has a better chance of having a longer run in the offseason, you know, Tampa or New England. And I will say this. When you look at the NFC, I do think it's somewhat wide open. I think the Saints' defense is underrated. I think Green Bay's been inconsistent. You know, there's a lot of sort of different permutations to this, Anita. So I just think this thing is far from over. And if Tampa Bay, and I think your Ali Marpet point is a good one, which is if they can get their defense solidified, I think, you know, Tampa Bay still has a chance here.
Mike, always appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much. Enjoy your Saturday afternoon. God bless your family. And again, just a reminder, please tune in to Mike and I tomorrow for New York Game Day. Kicks off at 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.